Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast and YouTube channel. Listen, make sure you subscribe today. You can go to iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can go to our YouTube channel, True Underdog, or you can visit trueunderdog.com and subscribe to all of it.
Damn, 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 True Underdog. Damn, damn, unleash damn, the power within. Damn, damn, damn.
Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast. Super excited about our guest today. He's got our Superman shirt on. He's living the dream. Jeremy Ryan Slade, he's founder of Create Your Own Life Podcast, CEO and co-founder of Command Your Brand Media. He started with his wife, Brielle. Now, he's got a top podcast by Inc. Magazine in 2019. He's doing some big things. He's got some great stories. How are you doing, Jeremy?
Hey, Jason, I'm really, really stoked to hang out with you, man, especially finding out like how big of a sports fan you are, man. This is going to be fun.
This is going to be fun. And we were talking a little bit about Tom Brady before this. We were talking about the Avengers. We were talking about DC Comics. We were talking about Star Wars. I want to talk first about, I'm new to the podcast game. You know, I run a solar company. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a family man. You mentioned that you have a two-year-old daughter. And business, you know, experience, I never really had the education, have led me to my success, you know, grinding and overcoming things. But in the podcast game, I'm green. I'm new. I'm trying to learn from some of the best. You have a fantastic show. It's been one of the top rated shows for years now. You have thousands of listeners that pay attention to what you're saying. Let's start by what made you want to get into podcasting first. I want to understand what drove you to do that.
I failed at everything else. I have a master's in early Roman Empire propaganda, like not a very marketable skill in like getting any sort of job other than like talking about really smart things.
If you put that on a resume, that's really long. Is it like four sentences?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I wrote a graduate thesis about how Caesar Augustus convinced people it was God and the tools he used to do it. To me, it was interesting. To other people, are kind of like, that sounds really boring, dude. But that's like what my degree was in. So like, I'm the furthest thing from media or podcasting or business. Like that's kind of where I started out. And I was a high school teacher for a bit. And then back in 2012, my mom then ended up having a really, really bad stroke. And, you know, she's still, you know, we still have her, but she's still very disabled to this day. So it kind of like shook my foundation, right? Like I thought like teaching was what I wanted to do. And it was this thing. And like, cause I was always like, both my parents didn't go to college. My dad didn't finish high school. So it was like, you know, this whole like, if you go to school, it's like a really big deal, man. So like I did that. I taught for a couple of years and I was miserable. Like they put you in a room with 40 kids and they kind of say good luck, especially in private school because they don't expect you to like know how to teach people. So like I just wasn't very good at it. And then when my mom had a stroke, it was kind of like, well, shit, man. Like, what am I going to do? I'm sorry if I can't swear on your show.
You say whatever. It's not PG-13. You're fine.
Okay. Well, I was just kind of like, shit, man. Like, am I going to do this the rest of my life, be miserable, especially like when it can end, right? Like, I think like to me, it like gave me this whole idea of like, you know, mortality. So like, I tried everything, man. Like I did network marketing. I actually quit my job and told the principal I was going full-time into network marketing. And he actually asked me if I was crazy. And at that time, I probably was. But that was what I did. That was the first thing. Did that for a couple of years. Wasn't great at it. I created a lot of credit card debt. I was very good at it, at creating credit card debt. Not selling things, but dude, I could rack up credit card debt like nobody else's problem.
You can write a book and teach people how to do that easily, right?
Oh, easily, man. Yeah. So I went from there to like selling life insurance, which I was good at, but I just hated the experience of like telling people about like death and blah, blah, blah. I feel like a bad mafioso. Like you really love your family, right? Then you should buy this. And that was like every day. So just, it wasn't fun. So I made quite a bit of money doing that, but like that was, you know, the first thing I kind of did. And then I went from there to actually private labeling and selling products on Amazon. You know, you buy them from China, then you repackage them here and sell them for a lot more money. But like one of the first things you do with a new product is to launch it. You sell it for a dollar and get other people to review it. Now, if you're an idiot like I was, you leave your promo code on your listing. Somebody else that's that smart sees that and buys all of them. So I lost all my products in about 20 minutes. And that was kind of the end of my career. So I had always listened to podcasts since like 2007, like when a lot of them were still like audiobooks and stuff like that. So I started working at a friend's web firm just to, you know, pay the bills and stuff like that. And I started podcasts as a hobby. So it was kind of like I'd listened for a really long time and I'm like, okay, I guess I can do this. And, you know, that's kind of where the whole idea came from.
Dude, I love the fact, first of all, you know, sorry about hearing about your mom, and I'm glad she's still with you guys are going through things. But being a high school teacher, I have a lot of friends who want to be teachers. And you're right, our system's broken. Teachers don't get paid
enough money. Dude.
I say it all the time. If our government could ever get their shit together and literally hold on. I saw a great meme that
if there's one thing that I had to do, man, it's waste money and not fix anything.
That's like, yeah. Well, they're good at it. I saw a meme with the Joker and with it, you know, Pennywise sitting there, and the Joker,
which
like,
is a great punk band in the 90s, by the way.
Oh yeah, and he goes, "Let me show you how to handle 2021. Here's 2020. There's two freaking clowns that can't get their shit together. That's what we're dealing with." So, yeah, unfortunately, I'm a big believer in, you know, education, military, police, and things like that. I always say, and I get to flirt a little bit in politics recently with my business. I get to meet lobbyists. I got a one-on-one interview with Donald Trump back in September, which was huge for me. It's like a 12-minute conversation between me and him about solar. It's fantastic. But what I've learned and what I've seen is if our government, and I want to say this about the teacher thing first, because it's always a soft spot for me, could pay teachers, could pay policemen, could pay firemen, and could pay our entry-level enlisted military like they do doctors, dentists, and lawyers, our whole world changes. Because now you get quality, great people that make a great living, that have the education to do it, that train our youth. You get quality, great people that have the education to do it to be our police, and et cetera. And the problem is we don't do that. We treat it as all these people get degrees to go teach because they have an aspiration to teach, and you run in a podcast, it's still teaching, it's sharing, you're educating people and pulling things out of people, so it's still somewhat teaching at a different level. But it sucks because I know people, and your situation was different, that left teaching or wouldn't do it because it couldn't put food on the table, and they could have been game changers.
I was also teaching in private school though, man. So like, teaching in private school in New Jersey, like you could make more at a Burger King drive-thru. Like you don't make it.
Isn't that sad?
You make $21,000 a year. Like that's what I was making. You make $21,000 a year.
And your college degree costs more than that.
Oh, it costs more than that. But here's the thing too. Like in private school, they also expect you to do more. So you're working, you know, double the amount of hours as anybody else. You're making half the money. You're miserable doing it. But like also at the same time, like I don't want to like take you down a whole like, you know, diatribe on this, but like I also think how the education system set up isn't set up to help people, right? Like in the way that like at 17, 18, 19 years old, like nobody knows what they want to do the rest of their life. The thing that's missing, man, is the whole idea of apprenticeships. Like you, and that's kind of like, if you look at it, that's what I did in my life, man. I tried a bunch of things that didn't work to find out what I wanted to do. And I think like a lot of times, like before you make a decision to pay for an education, which that in itself is just way too inflated. Like, you know, if you change the education system and you gave them, you know, 15% of your income for the 3 years after you got out of that job, they'd have to teach you better. But I think
I love that idea, by the way. I never thought of that. I love that idea.
Well, you do a very small rate up front, and if they do a good job educating you, then you would pay them an income for a certain number of years. They'd have to do a much better job educating you. But I think like the way the system is set up, you have some sort of apprenticeship where you work at something, see if you like it, so you don't jump into an education to pay for something that you're not going to do, because 12% of people, I have to double check these numbers, but the last I read it was like 12% of people actually end up working in their major after they graduate college, which is crazy. So it's like, if you change it and you had a period of discernment, and you also change it so like when you went to college, you would pay nothing or something very small up front, and then you would pay a percentage of your income, they'd have to do a good job training you, man, because they'd want to make more money.
I agree, man. That's the point. And if they would treat normal principals, like maybe have some kind of program when they start high school in 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade, where they can get a job and go to school and learn how to be an adult. Because I would know pressure, and we're around the same age. I know pressure was put on us, like, you got to go to college to live your life. You got to have a great job. There was no be an entrepreneur, be a podcaster, be on the internet. My son is 10, and he has a YouTube channel. And I just got swag, so I'm wearing the swag for all the underdogs out there. But he's like, hey, when am I getting swag, Pops? And he's got like 2,500 followers. I'm like, I don't know. He's like, I need a swag. I need a website. He's 10. But I want him to want to do those things online. And a lot of parents are like, no, my kid can't do that. I'm like, no, this is the world we live in. You got to let people grow.
You got to create that environment too, though. You know what I mean? Like I love my parents dearly, and my dad is the hardest worker I've ever met. But the thing that I've learned from him was, number one, how to work hard. But then after I did it, I learned how to work harder, but smart at the same time, right? Like if you just keep running your head into the wall isn't eventually going to break, your head is. So like you kind of got to figure a lot of that stuff out, and you have to create an environment for people to want to start businesses, to show them it's cool, to make it okay. And I think honestly, you know, a lot of online entrepreneurship and a lot of even what you're doing with this podcast inspires people to do that. And I think that's a huge deal, man. Like it's filling a missing void.
I agree. I think if we can reach out to one or two people, it just changes their mindset for the day to take a chance on a job or open a business or not quit. The world becomes a better place every time. Let me ask you this. So you were going to high school, you went through this college and then teaching. You have a 2-year-old daughter now. You're doing podcasting now, but your podcast is one of the top entrepreneur podcasts out there. You've had some really cool guests. I saw you had General David Petraeus, the former CIA director, AJ Hawk, which is a Packers player, which I'm not a big fan of the Packers, but I love AJ Hawk. And then Sean Merriman, Grant Cardone. I'm a huge Grant Cardone fan. And Tucker Max. We both had Tucker Max on there. So let me ask you this. Is there one or two guests that you've had that really inspired you on your podcast or maybe reached your audience well? And what was the message? And this isn't a shot for anybody else out there that didn't do that, but what two stood out that were unique that was like, wow, that episode was solid?
Well, I feel like I'm nervous each time I say a new sports team here because I don't know how you're going to react on the other end of this. But I'm a huge Yankees fan, and to get a chance for me to have Nick Swisher on the show is a really big deal because I was a huge Nick Swisher fan, and the reason is he's like a blue collar workman's type player, right? Like he came out, he busted his ass. You know, he wasn't the most talented player out there, and the thing that was really interesting that I didn't realize about Nick and about his story, which was like really impactful for me, but also for our audience, is coming out of high school, he had no offers for the draft. They're basically like, you know, if you may go undrafted, you may go in a really, really late round, like nobody wanted him. And he had one college offer and a scholarship, which is Ohio State University. And at Ohio State, like they actually named the baseball field after him because his like statistical career at Ohio State was so prolific. And he went from there to being a first round pick. And I think it's really interesting to see somebody that goes in the first round that before that may have not even played the sport after that point. So I think to me, it's really inspiring to see that. Also at the same time, do you remember the guy from the Dos Equis commercials? Most interesting man
yes,
in the world?
Yes.
Okay. So his real name is Jonathan Goldsmith, and he was on the show late last year. And people always ask him, and this is one of the things I asked him, is they're like, oh, Jonathan, you got famous late in life. You know, like you finally didn't get famous to your 60s and blah, blah, blah. He goes, well, that's not true. I acted in, you know, movies in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and I wasn't really making any money in it and wasn't really getting to the level I wanted to. I was always an extra. So he goes, I went and became a multimillionaire in network marketing. But people don't talk about that, and they don't realize that he made a whole bunch of money like doing other things. And then he goes, then I blew all the money and had to go back to acting. But I think at the same time, like it teaches you to not let other people's success or other people know about your success define you. And I think that's so important because we do let other people define us in that way.
Oh, that's deep. I love that. That's great. So, Yankees fan, right? Your favorite football team. I know you're a big Tom Brady fan, which I want to get into. Who's your favorite football team, though? You said Packers, right?
It's the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, I'm sorry, man.
Did you grow up in Green Bay?
So, no, I'm from northern New Jersey, and my dad is the biggest Giants fan known to man. We've lost at least 3 TVs to bad Eli Manning games. Usually because he says piece of garbage and then the TV magically breaks itself. I don't know how it happened. So my dad is a huge Giants fan. The first Super Bowl I watched was, I believe, 1996, which was Packers-Patriots, and I became a Packers fan.
I remember that Super Bowl. That was,
I had no football team before that. You know, I was born in the late 80s, born in 87, so I'm, you know, 11 years old at that point, so it's, or 9 years old at that point, so.
That was Brett Favre's second Super Bowl win or first?
I believe that was his second.
I believe that was his second. He beat Denver the first time, I think.
Yeah, yeah. The 96 was Packers-Patriots, I believe.
Yeah, it was a good time. So another question I have for you, you know, in your podcast, when you're bringing folks on, you're building this up, you started this, how hard is it to get the listeners out there? I get a lot of messages. Hey, you know, I'm trying to start a podcast or I'm listening to podcasts. What has been the secret to your success to not quit or retreat on something that you're passionate about and that you had to build from the ground up?
You know, that's why I'd say like failure and adversity is a gift. You know what I mean? Because like I told you all the different things I failed at. Like, you know, like it just didn't work for me and I was broke as a joke when I started the podcast. So like I think that really kind of showed me like, well, you didn't really stay through that. You didn't really stay through that. You didn't really stay through that. At a certain point in time, you realize it's not the opportunity, it's you. And it kind of made me realize like, all right, I need to at least stick to something, give something my all and see how it goes. So like when I jumped into the podcast, my first version was called Rock Your Life. It was horrible. It had no microphone. It had no guests. It was me being life coachy, which I'm the furthest thing from because I totally lack empathy. So like it just wasn't very good. So when I started Create Your Own Life, like a full 6 months later, I was like, all right, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to really do this. So I made a list of the top 100 people I admired, and I reached out to them. And I had a lot of people come back to me and say, hey, that's cool, you know, good luck, but I'm not going to do it. We had enough people come to us and say, hey, I'll do this, to be able to do that. So like getting the guests early on mattered. But at the same time, because you know as much as I do, like just because you had somebody on doesn't mean they're going to share. You can't be dependent on them for your traffic. So I knew the key thing that ranks a podcast, and at that time it was iTunes, now it's Apple Podcasts, but the key thing that ranks is the number of subscribers you can get to your show in a 24-hour period. If you can show a big subscriber bump, you're going to go up in the charts. Reviews are great. They have very little influence on your show ranking. So like I knew that wasn't really the thing. So I got everybody I could to subscribe to my show. I had a very small social media following. I had like 200 followers on Twitter. I had like nothing. So I got people to subscribe that way. I reached out to people individually on LinkedIn and got them to subscribe. I had built a small email list with like 700 people on it. So I got, you know, as many people there as I could to subscribe. It got to the point where we're out like at bars with my friends and I'm like, hey, let me grab your phone. I'm going to show you how to subscribe to my podcast. They're like, you are crazy. I'm like, I'm going to make this work. So like getting those subscribers early on helped me to really get enough traffic to then, at that point in time, you could still get featured in what was called iTunes New and Noteworthy. And for 8 weeks, then they would stick you at the top of iTunes. So I got enough traffic then to be stuck up there and get a lot of that. And then I've just kind of, you know, continued repurposing content, getting media and stuff like that since then. But like early on, man, it was like whatever I was willing to do.
That's so awesome. And that's a great story. I have two things I want to touch base on. One, I always say there's no elevator in life. You got to take the steps. And you just explained how you were grinding, taking friends'
Dude,
phones and
so,
grinding
so that
on
is
this.
That is something I say all the time. Like,
I say it all
like,
the time.
You ever see the movie Step Brothers?
Yes. One of my favorite movies of all time.
When they're making the bunk beds and they're like, oh, now we have so much room for activities. Like it's kind of like that part. Did we just become best friends? I think we did. No, but I literally always say that about, especially about media, because people think, okay, I want to buy a Forbes feature. I want to buy this. I want to buy that. And I'm like, you can't do that, man. You got to get the stairs. There is no elevator.
Yeah. It's like that in life and in business, building a company. It's my third business.
I got to have you on my podcast, by the way.
Hey, absolutely. It's the same way. I started my first company out of a bedroom, right? And then I had a tile board from Home Depot that had the schedule, and I used to sell home security, and I used to work at Verizon, and then at night, knock on doors and be like, hey, Jeremy, you want to save money and protect your home? And it's a dollar a day.
You'll love this. So my parents are in the process of like selling their home. And they're kind of going through the contract process now. And like one of the things I did before that was I redid their whole house. I remodeled their whole house to like, you know, help them make it better to sell and blah, blah, blah. So I'm painting the basement walls, and I actually had my first office in my parents' basement. And like I wrote on the walls in like Sharpie of like, you know, like people I was recruiting and whatever it was I was doing. I was like, God, if somebody saw this basement, they would think I was a serial killer.
Oh my goodness, that's so funny. But that's how it is. Like people don't realize you got to be in the moment, and it's okay to have big dreams and big goals, but you feel defeated if you don't hit them overnight. You have to understand little wins, an extra subscriber here, an extra customer here, an extra employee here. Like it's all got, I mean, you have got to plant seeds everywhere and let little things come up.
But you know, part of that problem to that man is like we're told that, right? Like we're told if you don't get it quick, if you don't get it easy, like, you know,
that's
go on
the
to the next thing. So people look for the next marketable thing they think they can make money in rather than sticking it out. And that was the exact lesson I learned by sticking it out.
Yeah, your experience and your failure led to your success. That's exactly right. Not enough people want to learn from their failure. They just want to complain or shift and not use it as motivation. You know, I love how that I had a podcast called, this was the second thing. I had a show called My 25 Jobs Before I Was 23. I had 25 places I worked at before I was 23. I opened my first business at 24. 25 places. I mean, it's nuts. And I went down the list with a co-host of mine and I had to remember, and you know, you walk down memory lane. I'm like, oh, Bojangles, oh, Pizza Hut, oh, I mean, you know, some 2 days. But unless you fail, you can never grow. Unless you try things, you don't do that. And it's so, I'm admired that, and it is, like we're brothers from another mother here, like very similar, you know, do we get same thing? Like a lot of the same taste, a lot of the same guidance here is because of our failures. It's because of our experience. It's like our dads are like, my dad's a Lions fan. You know how many TVs we lost? I mean, we ain't even won shit ever, right? So you know how many times Brett Favre and Rodgers threw a bomb? And I'm like, dude, really fucking Green Bay? Really again?
Like,
really?
Like the number, like what did Eli Manning win? Like 2 Super Bowls? And my dad seemed to think he was like the worst player that ever existed. I'm like, you know, he won you 2 Super Bowls, right? Like, but it's when you're a fan, you're a fan, man.
I know. And I'm still living in agony, but it is what it is. I'm okay with it. I'll get over it. I'm glad sports are starting to, you know, be on more and we got good things coming. So let me ask you this. You are a Superman fan, right? And is that your favorite superhero?
It is my favorite superhero, yeah. And it's one of those things too, like I'm a former competitive powerlifter, so like I'm super fit, so sometimes I do feel like a dick wearing the shirt, you know what I mean? Like there's
you gotta own that shit, dude.
Like, do you remember Dane Cook?
Yes, I love Dane Cook.
So Dane Cook had a skit where he said, you ever see a guy with a Superman t-shirt just want to punch him in the face and be like, guess not? I guess I've always kind of carried that with me, even though I'm a Superman fan.
Yeah, you know, I could see it. It's a little arrogant, but who cares?
I'm not an arrogant guy.
No, you're not, but you're like, I like Superman. I would feel the same way if I wore. So I ultimately love Superman more. Like I feel like Superman kick everybody's ass. I argue, even with my son. And I was like, to me, Hulk is second and third is Captain America. Those are my three favorites. The reason I'm trying to follow Captain America more is in my business. There are things that I suck at. I didn't know what EBITDA was 2 years ago, yet we did $370 million in sales this year, right? But 2 or 3 years ago, I didn't even know what the hell that was. I have to bring people on smarter than me. And it's the same thing with Captain America. He has to bring someone on who's like Hulk. He has to bring someone on who's like Thor. He has to bring someone on who's like Iron Man that can fly. I need those business as a father, as a business owner, as running a company, doing a podcast. You need a great team. And the one thing about Superman is he's solo, and he's my favorite superhero. But I've evolved recently, and my son got me to buy in more to the Avengers. He's 10 of Captain America. So we had this whole virtual holiday party where we introduced all of our executive team. There's 5 of us. And of course I was Captain America and I had everybody else something else. So it, you know, now I got all this Captain America stuff. People keep getting me, but I love that. You said your daughter is a loves Batgirl, right? Explain that.
So, well, that's only because her grandfather, my father-in-law, like got her a Batgirl onesie and they watched the old one with like, Adam West from like the 60s, and they go na 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 na.
The old car's here in Birmingham, Michigan, all the time.
I can that only ever think of Adam West though from Family Guy. Like I just can't help it. But like that, they watch that together all the time. But this year for Halloween, she was Wonder Woman, and they had the Costco had the coolest costumes this year. So she was Wonder Woman when we went around and trick or treated. But she's a huge like superhero fan too.
That's awesome. And is your wife a superhero fan?
My wife doesn't really care, but she thinks it's cute.
Look, it can be cute. We were talking Star Wars or superheroes before, and you said it's a tough one, right?
It's a tough one just because I love Star Wars, which made you kind of cringe, and I'm sorry about that. But I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
Look, I loved it when they had 3 episodes and it was in the 80s. Then after that, it was like, this is a little strange. And then I will
tell you from the when they started remaking them in 2001, I do think that I think it was 2001. I do think Episode 1 is the worst Star Wars movie ever made, but I think they did a better job after that. So
that's good news. Well, my son has debated if he wanted to watch it or not.
It was like a kids' movie.
You know, all right. Please forgive me, fans and listeners. I got to say this. So when I go to Universal Studios, and they have Harry Potter. Are you a Harry Potter fan?
I wasn't really a Harry Potter fan. I watched the movies after the fact, but like I just couldn't get into the books. I don't know if I was too old when they came out or what. Because you know,
I'm not into Harry Potter. I want to be into it. I want to be into Star Wars. The problem is when you go to Universal and we do the VIP front of the line stuff, like my family's bougie, like we're not going to stand in lines. Okay, whatever. So we go in there, we try to do the whole VIP thing to hit all the rides we can. And when we go take the train over to Harry Potter Land, every time, now guys, please, fans out there, I'm sorry, but there's like a weird smell. It smells like, it smells like Lord of the Rings and poop have mixed. And I struggle with that when I go to, and I think of that same mentality, people walking around in robes with fucking wands, and no offense, but holy shit. And they have a weird smell. It reminds me of Star Wars, and I'm sorry, but it's the mindset. I've either got to be better educated, but I'm struggling with that.
You know, when the books originally came out, I can't even remember how old I was when those damn books came out. I'm in my mid-30s now, so like I can't remember how So when those came out, I was reading Tom Clancy. So like at that point in time, I'm like, okay, so what are the Russians doing and what's going on?
I love Tom Clancy.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, it was kind of, I don't know. I was on a different level at that point in time.
Yeah. But have you been to Universal?
I have been to Universal. We did Harry Potter World 4 years ago.
Do you think it smelled normal in Harry Potter World compared to the rest of the park, or was I imagining something?
I was more interested in finding that beer thing that they have, and that was about it.
I did find the beer thing. Dude, I'm telling you, my kids were even like, what is that smell? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's people sweating in robes. It's 900 degrees
out.
You know,
I live outside New York City, man. Everything kind of smells. You know what I mean?
Ooh, yeah. I get that. You're right. Touche. You win on that. It's normal to you. Like, it smells like ass. That's okay. Okay. For me, it was like a little different. So no more shout outs to Star Wars. I did make a joke with you before we got on. I said, look, when I was in school, there was a joke. I said, you know, there's some dudes that like Star Wars and some dudes that date, you know, have girlfriends. And then that is evolved to where there's some hot chicks who actually watch Star Wars now. So maybe I'm missing the boat. I got to figure that out. I got to get my wife. Hey, hon, let's watch Star Wars. I got to catch up. I loved them as a kid, but then
I would
right,
say
first
skip
movie.
Episode one. I would say skip episode one and watch episode three, which is the one where Anakin becomes Darth Vader. That's a badass movie because you kind of like see like where he's like morphing into this like crazy character.
I'm going to have to watch that. You know, I have to.
Like the first one wasn't that good. Clone Wars was eh. The third one, really good.
Really good. Okay. So let's talk real quick before we end. Tom Brady, how's he going to do in the playoffs?
So he's going to get to the NFC Championship game where Aaron Rodgers is going to stomp on his head. That's about it. But here,
you guys have a Packers.
You know what's sad about this? You know what's sad about this? I pull for Tom Brady so bad that I actually had the conversation with my wife. Well, Aaron's got a couple years left. I think it'd be really nice if Tom Brady won it this year.
To prove something to the Patriots, right? Like, I don't need you. I did this with my boy Gronk and we're out. So I agree. I'm pulling for him because I'm a huge Tom Brady fan.
He had the second best career of his, year of his career this year. He had 44 touchdowns, 4,600 yards, 70% completions, like 101 or 102 is his pass rating. I love stats. Like 101 or 102
Half
is his pass rating.
Was against the Lions in one game, by the way.
They put up like a lot of it was against the Packers, man. They demolished the Packers.
I remember they took two to the house on Rodgers.
Yeah. Yeah, so he couldn't complete a pass after that.
I'm guilty as charged of when the Lions lose, I'm pissed as hell. But when the Packers lose, it makes me feel so much better. It equals it. I'm like, fuck, Packers lost. I'm good.
One of my best friends is a Vikings fan, so I understand.
I was hoping Sue actually took off with Aaron Rodgers' head in that game. I was like, just take his head and run. But it didn't happen. I'm like, get him, stop him, shit. And he didn't. I'm like, damn, okay. So it is what it is. I'm very competitive on that. Baseball, I'm a Tigers fan. It sounds like you're a Yankees fan.
Yes. I've been a lifelong Yankees fan.
I can't, you guys have had a great organization there. I mean, I'm a huge, you know, Derek Jeter fan. And so I can't hate on that organization.
I finally got a chance to hang out with Mariano Rivera last year.
Wow.
And he is one of the nicest human. We were supposed to have a podcast episode coming out, but I guess, you know, that's on hold right now. But like one of the nicest human beings and most like professional people you've ever met.
That's so cool. Well, you know, listen, I thank you for coming on here. How can people find you and see about, I know you have a new book coming out called Extraordinary, Overcome Extreme Adversity and Create Your Best Life. Where can they find A, information on the book, B, your podcast, and how to follow you?
So I think the best way to kind of just check out everything I'm doing is over at jeremyryanslate.com. And, you know, the book, we're looking at a fall 2021 release. We're still like deep in the writing process right now. And there's a few more people I'm trying to grab that I really want to have like in the book, but like they're kind of reaches. So we'll see how it goes. But we're looking at a fall 2021 release on that. If they want to check anything out in the business side, that's over at commandyourbrand.com.
Commandyourbrand.com. I love it. And then the podcast, they can find you on all of them, iHeart, Spotify, Apple.
We are everywhere, man. I started doing more YouTube stuff recently. Our views aren't really huge over there yet because I haven't really like focused on it, but they can also check it out in the YouTube too if they want to start seeing the videos of the episodes as well.
Hey, dude, I appreciate it. Be healthy, be safe. Thank you for coming on here and sharing that story. I'm glad we could laugh about that. I would keep wearing the shirt and be like, look, I love me some me. Be like T.O., fuck that. I love me some me.
I can't help it though, man. I always think of Dane Cook. He's like, you want to punch him in the face? Be like, guess not, super bleeder.
You know, look, 2020, that's so funny. 2020.
Shoes, fuck shoes.
I keep imagining someone just punching. It's like you're bleeding, but you're Superman and you're buff. It's like, see,
I
envision that too well. I've gotten to a point in my life at 40. I started dyeing my hair. I bought stupid cars because I became a grandfather at like 39 years old. I'm like, what? you know, I did everything backwards. I got a 22-year-old daughter, a 17-year-old daughter, a 13-year-old daughter, and a 10-year-old son, and now an 18-month-old granddaughter. I kind of lost my shit. I didn't go get a girlfriend. I didn't move to some crazy country. I just bought crazy cars and dyed my hair, right? And then started a podcast. But what I've learned is I used to be so quiet and humble is sometimes you just got to say, fuck it. Sometimes, you know, it's okay to like, this is me and I love it. And, you know, everyone's gone through some shit and depression in 2020. Like, I blame everything on China. That's me. I'm like, fucking China's fault.
You got to say it the right way, man. China.
China. It's China's fault. So, with a G, China. And, but the biggest thing is I think now, I always think of when I'm down and my wife's like, are you depressed? I'm like, nah, they're like, I may be in a bad mood. I may be going through a rough time, but I'm not going to get depressed because I love me some me. I always think of Terrell Owens. I love me some me. And so sometimes you got to be able, like, you're in shape. If I was in your shape, I got like a dad bod on the gut. I got the pool bod. So from pool.
Well, that's what my wife says to me. You're doing dad bod the right way. I'm like, thanks, honey.
Dude, I'm telling you, when the pool comes up to my chest, I look like a badass, like shoulders to chest, like that guy's in shape. And then they go, oh, he's a fucking dad. Maybe a grandpa. That's my issue. And I'm playing to tie. I'll intermittent fast and I'll work out, but I eat like shit. So I'm playing for a tie, which is stupid, and I know, but that's what I'm doing. So congrats to you because, dude, as you get older, that shit's harder. So have fun. Keep working hard, but I keep wearing that shirt, baby.
Awesome, man.
All right. Hey, thank you for coming on. That's a wrap here. Bam! And that concludes another episode here on True Underdog. If you're interested in hearing more, make sure you subscribe at iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the YouTube channel. You can always visit trueunderdog.com, subscribe to all of them. Make sure you check out our newest episodes coming out on Mondays and Thursdays. True Underdog, baby.
Bam! Damn, True Underdog. Damn.